Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to our worship here at Faith. It's good that you could all be with us this afternoon. It's good to be back. It's been a long week. Boy, quite a long week. In the midst of God's people here, we are closing in on some important things that are going to be doing in the weeks to come. Starting this weekend, we are going to devote just a little bit of time for prayer. And also to help prepare us for the convention that's coming to Tampa. Now, I don't really know how many of us are actually going to be involved. I know that several of us have registered for Altar Guild. And in fact, I just received this communication when I got home last night. There is a servant event. Apparently, we're going to be doing a lot of these things now on the Saturday, the beginning of the convention, Saturday, July the 20th. On top of those that are already serving as Altar Guild, that morning from 10 a.m. to noon, there is going to be a servant event in which people are going to be packaging 275 baskets of mother and baby items for two of our LCMS RSOs here in the Florida area. One is called Redeeming Life Outreach Ministries, which is in one of the suburbs of Orlando. Things like baby wellness baskets, mom care baskets, household item baskets, and spiritual care baskets. I think they have the items. The job will just be to put those together. Again, that's 10 a.m. to 12 noon on the first Saturday of convention. And again, if we've got people that are interested, we've got time to arrange things like the transportation to make sure that you can get down there and back. We just need to know if you'd like to serve, and we can get you registered for that if you'd like to do that. But if you do nothing else, please join us in prayer. And then we're going to be possibly even providing daily updates what's going on down at that convention, because it's just we don't ever get a chance to see something like that up close and personal. And now all of a sudden, something like that, the convention now is just 4 weeks away. So it's coming up on us very, very quickly. Of the other items, we've got a 4th of July picnic coming up. We've got a few things that we're going to be adding to that. We sent out one communication. We'll be sending another one out this week about that. But please note, that is now just 2 weeks from this past Thursday. The 4th of July falls on a Thursday this year. We're back at the same park down in Tarpon Springs that we were at last year, shelter number 8. Even though it rained as we were kind of starting to gather together last year, rain, shine, or anything else, we are going to gather. We'll probably start gathering about 5 o'clock, and we hope to eat somewhere in the vicinity of 6. There are fireworks at that park that night. If you'd like to stay for those, we will need to move to a different location to do that. But there are fireworks that are fired right from that park there to kind of top off the evening. Of the other announcements, we've got a number of things that are in the announcements page in our service folders. You can take the opportunity to look at that as you have a moment. We are going to be beginning here in just a few moments. Now we go into a summer mode, and we'll be beginning here with an opening hymn sing. But let's now start by greeting one another in the peace of the Lord. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In this world, we are surrounded by enemies. Sin has enslaved us all. We deserve death for our sinful lives. We are vulnerable to the attacks of Satan.
But Christ is present.
So now I ask you before God who searches the heart, do you sincerely confess that you have sinned against God by what you have done and by what you have left undone and deserve his wrath and punishment? If so, then declare by saying, I do confess. I do confess. Indeed, we should confess, for Holy Scripture declares, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Do you heartily repent of all your sins committed in thought, word, and deed? If so, then declare by saying, I do repent. I do repent. Indeed, we should repent, as did the penitent sinners King David, who prayed for a contrite heart, Peter, who wept bitterly, The sinful woman at the feet of Jesus, the prodigal son, and others. Do you sincerely believe that God, by grace for Jesus' sake, will forgive you all your sins? If so, then declare by saying, I do believe. I do believe. Indeed, we should believe, for Holy Scripture declares, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Do you promise that with the aid of the Holy Spirit, you will from this time forward take up the battle against sin in your life and live that forgiven life in the light of Christ? If so, then declare by saying, I do promise. I do promise. As you confess, repent, believe, and promise, so let it be unto you. It is my privilege and joy to announce to you that Jesus has taken away your burdens by his death and resurrection. According to his own command, I, called as pastor and servant of the word, declare that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray this prayer together. O God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as surpass our understanding. Cast out all sins and evil desires from us and pour into our hearts your Holy Spirit to guide us into all blessedness through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. And please stand as a sign of resurrection hope. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus and his disciples sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time, he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now, a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all of the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your house and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. We heard these words a little bit earlier. I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, "Here am I. Here am I to a nation that was not called by my name." Friends, as more and more of us, even us, oh, if I have to say it, ones that are getting older, are using more social media all the time, We are learning about phrases and things that they use in this world that, well, I guess we've used forms of the word before, but one of the things that we learn now is that for people to, shall we say, connect on social media, it usually starts with what is called a friending request, where one finds the other. And look, it might be somebody that we see here every weekend in worship. It might be somebody from our high school that we haven't seen in decades. It might be somebody that we know from one of the places that we do things during the week, either work or whatever, social activities, whatever the case might be. But a friending request goes far beyond just connecting two people so that they can talk to one another. Long before we had social media, people had to learn what it meant to be a friend. And shall we say, the friending requests, while they were not formally made by pushing a button, they were made by establishing that indeed this was going to be something promising. This was going to be something that was going to benefit both people that was involved. But it makes me wonder, do we still know, do we still understand, are we prepared to make ourselves, for God's people out there, a friend? Because let's face it, to open up the doors in which we're going to be proclaiming to God's people what Jesus has done for us, we have to be able to show people that this is going to be somebody very special. Now, friends in some ways really don't care. What the things that unite friends, whatever it is that brought them together a long time ago, is a lot of times not based on merit. In fact, the very essence of a friend understands that, hey, I'm not perfect. To the people I'm friends with and my friends I know, well, they aren't perfect either. But I accept them as they are for what they are, because this is indeed a true friendship. And yet still, there are some things about becoming a friend, which is why we can say, and yeah, okay, I'd already had prepared it for several weeks down the road. That's why we had that hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Now, Jesus is a lot more than that for us. But in some ways, the door begins to open in the hearts and lives of people by them understanding that they're going to have so much more. But whatever else they're going to have, they will always have a friend. And let's face it, friends have got a way of standing up at the important times. Somehow or another, when the big moments come, the people who are true friends are the ones that we see. They might even be, at the time we went to get married, if we even knew the people that we have as our friends, we would probably ask them to be the one to stand next to us. Friends are usually the people that when somebody has gotten sick or something else like that, if they live close by and they can visit somehow or another, no matter how many people come to visit, there's always that one person that moves that person like nobody else can, and it's usually a close friend. That friend is there because the friend understands how important this person is. When you have a friend like that, words need not be spoken. I remember a few years ago, on a couple different occasions, where I would be going as a pastor to visit somebody in the hospital. And in this case, it was a couple of people where, and it was, I think in both cases it was a stroke, had taken away their ability to speak. They couldn't say anything if they wanted to, at least not anything that made sense. But while I was there and doing whatever ministering I could, because they could understand me, in would walk in that special person. And you could just tell. Even that person, beyond saying hi and how you doing, didn't need to say a word. That connection was there. That's Jesus, my friends. Whether we see him or not, whether we understand his presence in our lives, oh, he's there. He is able to be there for us, and he's able to connect to us in ways that no one else can. A way that hopefully makes us see, yes, what a friend we have in Jesus. A friend will also, besides standing up, will also stand out. One of the really bad things about some of this social media today is that there are out there cyber whatever these clowns are. And one of the most pernicious things that they're doing nowadays is that they are stealing identities like yours and presenting false friend requests to people under the idea that if you knew who they really were, you wouldn't touch them with a 100-foot pole or a 1,000-foot pole. But just maybe you're not going to remember that a long time ago you already accepted a request from that friend. And so they will pose as one of your actual friends to try to get you to give them something that they want from you. Not something good, by the way. And it's dangerous because, you know, we are vulnerable in those very areas simply because as a friend, we do stand out. Yeah, there's just something where if it involves a friend, we're going to be willing to do some things, share some things, go to some lengths that, well, maybe we might do for a lot of other people. We insist on doing it. And let's be honest, you can have a really good friend inside of your family or your in-law's family. You can have a really good friend that wears other hats in your life. But somehow, that true friend is going to be that person that stands out from the crowd. And the real one is one that is just somebody who always seems to have the right word, know when to go in, and kind of know just kind of when to stay back, waiting for the right moment, that moment to come. Jesus has done that throughout our lives, where Jesus knows, and it says here, here am I, here am I. Well, it's not like Jesus is going to stand back passively. Whenever we look in our lives at times where all of a sudden it's like we are connecting ourselves to Jesus again, we're going to find out he's been there all along. It's not like he was just somehow, well, you go off and do your thing, and when you're ready for me, just give me a call or something like that, and I'll come. No. A true friend has a way of standing out, and Jesus is always there with us to the end of the age, and that is something very, very special. And the third thing that a friend does is to understand just what a friendship has got to be. A friend is one of those people that is willing to give all and expect nothing in return. And somehow when you have friends like that, if both parties are like that, willing to give all, expecting nothing in return, what they end up receiving ends up being far more than they had ever given it, and they expected nothing. Well, we are never going to be able to give to Jesus more than he has given us. That's the way it is. But when Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, do you love me more than these? And said it three times, Jesus was making it clear that what Peter, his attitude, his thoughts, his heart, the very essence of his being and soul was directed in love for his Savior. That meant something to Jesus. When he cleansed 10 lepers, and only one came back to give thanks, and he was a foreigner, and Jesus is like, well, where are the other nine? Was no one here to give God thanks and praise? That means something. Every moment that we spend with our Lord and Savior really are moments, and I'm not talking about Jesus somehow being emotionally moved, oh, this is great, this is wonderful, but he was willing to give his life for you. And in the midst of giving that life, he knows your griefs, your sorrows, your weaknesses, he knows all the things you are going through, and he's there as your friend. And he knows when you are seeking him out. And considering that he has come and sought you out, a person that, well, let's be blunt, because of sin, we had no business receiving from Jesus what he has given to us. Well, what can we give to him? Well, friends, in some other places than what supposed to follow now is probably supposed to be five tips or something like that, where now you can be a better friend to other people. Well, look at just what it is that we have just gone through. Because we have to ask ourselves, okay, have we allowed ourselves to be at a point where when those important moments come, and the opportunity has come for us to stand up at those important moments, have we stood up? Or have we cowered into a corner? Or have we just simply said, I got too many of my own problems to worry about somebody else, what they're going through in their life, whether it's something good or something bad? Wow, do I hear that? When the time comes for us to stand out, when there's these moments in some people's lives where it's like, I need that special person right now, I pray they think of Jesus. But does anybody think of you? Is there that moment where, even if you're a long ways away, that anticipation of knowing that here is that person, and boy, life, no matter what happens to that person's life after that, is going to be comforted simply because in the midst of life where God has given us all of his gifts, he has given to that person that really stands out, and that person is you. And finally, do we understand, in the midst of being able to give and expecting nothing in return, just what it is that we have received? You know, I've had some really special friends in my life, and it has never failed that whatever it is, that if there came a time when one or the other of us really needed that friend, and we were there for the other, it was only a matter of time before the roles were reversed. And that person who needed that friend at that moment had to become that friend. And that person who had been that friend now all of a sudden needed that person to be a friend to him or to her. When we see the lengths to which Jesus is willing to call us back to himself, there's nothing we can do, nothing that we can be that somehow or another is going to exceed that. but to live our lives in thanks and praise and service and obedience to him who has done that, who has shown what a friend really is, drawing himself to each and every one of you and giving you the blessing in your life of those special friends. Well, you will always know in your relationship with your Lord and Savior who the real friend is and who the imposter is. Friends, whether or not we utilize social media to touch bases with lives of people, and I got to admit, it's connected me with people that I had not been connected with for decades. Even if it's opened up a new portal that allows us to be something, the most important thing that we will ever see in life is what Jesus is for you. And because of what Jesus is for you, and what he has done for you, and with you, and to you, and in you, what can you be for his people? What can you be in thankfulness to him? Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. So at this time, we're going to confess our Christian faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed. It's always in the inside back cover of the hymnal or up on the screen. Please stand as we confess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as we receive our offerings. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, eternal King, you are the source, the guide, the goal of all that exists in heaven and on earth. You uphold all things by your powerful word, and we thank and praise you that you have made us your friend, that you have made us your children, that you have so graciously showered us with all of your tender and loving mercies. Make us constantly aware of the many things that you lavish on us, most especially that you have given us the joy of faith that endures to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. Most of all, we thank you for the priceless gifts which are ours in Jesus Christ. Indeed, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to him in prayer. That we receive forgiveness of all sins through him, rescue from the grip of death and the devil, and the promise of everlasting life with you, and that everlasting promise that he will be with us always to the very end of the age. Grant, O Lord, that we may be lifted up to you in constant love and praise, that he is there with us. Lord, in your mercy. As you have filled your church at the beginning with the power of your Holy Spirit, so help it today throughout the world to proclaim your saving deeds to all people. As we prepare for the national convention of our church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, to come into our midst, we pray for the church bodies throughout the world that have joined in fellowship with us, and especially those that are going to be now able to join with us through the action of the assembly, that there are now more and more churches throughout the world that we gather together with, one in worship, one in fellowship, one in sharing the power and the promise of what you have given to us. Help us always, as one mighty throng, to be able to show in the midst of our love and loyalty to you that you have given to us all good things. Lord, in your mercy,
hear.
Loving Father, we ask your special mercy on all who are facing trouble and trials. Give health to the sick, joy to the sorrowing, support to the aged, friendship to the lonely, and strength to the weak. We now lift up our hearts on behalf of someone in our own lives that is in need of the special presence that you give as their Savior and Lord that we now name before you in a moment of silence. Grant to them answer to their prayers and the joy of knowing that you give to them strength both in this life and in the life to come. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In these last days you have poured out your Holy Spirit on your church, that all of your children might proclaim the wonders of your salvation. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon your gathered people, that faithfully eating the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, we may go forth to proclaim his salvation to the ends of the earth. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We now sing the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he'd given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Christ is dying. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Lord, you sanctify and guide us in all truth to know you as our Savior, Jesus Christ, along with the Father whom you have made known as we are knit and joined together in the Spirit. The peace of the Lord be with you always. You may be seated. Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go in the peace and power of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the middle of page 8 is our closing prayer, which is Luther's evening prayer. Please stand as we speak that prayer together. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins, for I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Bless we the Lord. And I walk into the world in peace, have courage, hold to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the suffering. Honor all people, love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless you. Amen.